Now, more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Friday. This is 1320 WILS. Great to have you here. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Johnny Buck. Tonight, well, the about 46,000 Michiganders were told they had defrauded the state government. They faced major penalties. It turns out the state's computerized unemployment benefit system was the one that was wrong. Well, this week, the Michigan Appeals Court threw out that case. We'll hear from their attorney. We'll find out why that occurred. Also, Sean Spicer is out. He is no longer the White House press secretary. We'll have Alan Sachs here. We're going to break it all down, find out why he left to begin with. But let's begin with the Senate trying to get through this effort to repeal Obamacare. Well, Sally Pipes, president and CEO of the Pacific Research Institute, says that President Trump really should be happy that this effort is dead. Let's find out why. Sally's also the author of the book, The Way Out of Obamacare. Sally, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show on a Friday, late on a Friday in the summer.
It's a big day. Now, what is it? Why should the president actually be happy that this effort is dead?
Well, I mean, I think we really, I wrote that a couple of days ago, and things in the healthcare debate seem to change every 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
So it's very hard to keep up. One of the reasons I think that, that I thought President Trump should be happy is because of all of the changes that are going on with the Senate version of Obamacare. It's called the Better Care Reconciliation Act.
Okay.
It was amended. I mean, a couple of things that I really liked in it were health with HSAs. People would be able to use their HSAs to pay their premiums for insurance. And also, I liked the Cruz-Lee Amendment, where if an insurer offered a compliant plan in the exchange, which would mean it would have the 10 essential benefits that were mandated under Obamacare,
mm-hmm.
they could then also offer a non-compliant plan where people, particularly younger people, healthier people, would be able to get a plan that didn't have all of those mandates, which adds so much to the cost.
So are those amendments still part of the plan now?
Well, what we don't know is, Senator McConnell pulled, what was going to be a vote on a motion to proceed earlier this week because he knew that Lee, Shelley Moore Capito, Susan Collins, and also Jerry Moran were not going to support the vote. So he pulled that,
mm-hmm.
right? But now, as I say, things change all the time. McConnell has said that he will be calling for a motion to proceed with a vote on Monday or Tuesday of next week.
Okay.
But the question is, what are they going to be voting on? Is it the American Health Care Act, the House version, or are they going to bring that forward and then, say they're going to remove that and say we're going to vote on the repeal 2015 bill, which is called the Obamacare Repeal Reconciliation Act,
okay.
or are they going to be voting on the amended Better Care Reconciliation Act that has
uh-huh.
all of this other stuff in it?
Now, you say, though, there's a danger in repealing Obamacare and then delaying the replace, is that correct?
Yes, because I think, they're talking about repealing the individual and the employer mandates and some of the taxes, but spending the next 2 years leaving all of the other things in place, the Medicaid expansion, the tax credits, all of that, and then in 2 years coming up with a replacement plan. Well, if you know anything about politics, 2 years is a lifetime, and it worries me that if they waited for 2 years, we will have Obamacare, definitely here to stay.
Well, but what would happen, though? So 2 years in of not having the mandates in place but still having all the tax breaks there, what would that cause?
Well, I think what it would mean would be that, there could, of course, in the meantime, in the 2 years, be, a collapse of Obamacare because, as we know, the insurers are getting out of the exchanges in a big way. Premiums are going up. And so it may, President Trump has said so many things. He has said, let it fail. He said, let's repeal and replace. We've got to do this now. So it's very confusing to know exactly what's going to happen. But in my mind, the BCRA, the Senate amended bill, and the original repeal bill from 2015, they all are really looking at Obamacare light. They are not talking about repealing and replacing Obamacare, which is what the American people voted for last November.
Okay, now, is there a clear replace plan in your mind that would actually work?
Yes. I mean, in my book, The Way Out of Obamacare, for sure. I know Dr. Tom Price, you know, agrees with all of the things in my plan, and his plan was called he has a plan that he brought forward, very similar to mine. Paul Ryan had his white paper, A Better Way. There are plans out there. The Republicans just need to get together and stand behind that plan and stop allowing all of this. You know, we've got the Murkowskis and the Collins are saying, you know, we need more funding for abortion and Planned Parenthood, so we can't support something. Then you have, you know, Senators John Thune, Bill Cassidy, Shelley Moore Capito all saying the Medicaid expansion has to continue because they expanded the Medicaid programs. And the Medicaid programs in these states, they're not working well for patients. And under the Senate bill, the expansion funds for Medicaid in these states would stay around for 3 years before they start declining. So I don't know why these people...
And you suggest what should be done then with people that are relying on these expanded Medicaid benefits?
Well, I mean, I think the thing is, as we've seen, even in California, there's a lawsuit by Latinos saying that they have Medicaid, but they can't find doctors because the reimbursement rates are so low.
Okay.
And in all the expansion states, emergency room use is up. So what they need to do is end the expansion now. Medicaid will continue as a program, but let's offer people types of plans that will allow them to get the kind of coverage they can afford, the deductibles that they want, and that they can get health coverage that suits their needs and those of their families.
Sally, I should note, we have a Republican governor here, Governor Snyder. He supported the expansion and wants it to remain in place. Why do you think that's happening then?
Well, I think that a lot of, you know, politicians, they love, you know, government programs once they're in place. They see that as a way that people will see them, even if they're not working. As the late Nobel laureate and my mentor, Milton Friedman, used to say, give people an entitlement. If it's working or not working, it's very hard to take it away. And I think governors, you know, thought, well, you know, here's some money out there. We can get that money. And actually, McConnell is now talking about another amendment to the BCRA, putting $200 billion more into the Medicaid expansion program to keep it going.
Okay, and you believe it should just be just shut down completely, the entire expansion effort, and immediately also, is that right?
Well, I would say in 2018, yes, next year.
Okay, and all those people that are on Medicaid now via the expansion, they'd have immediate access to insurance how?
Well, if we open up the market so that people can get the kind of, you know, coverage that suits their needs, yes, they would. And also that, you know, Medicaid in the states is there for a lot of people. I mean, in the state of California, one-third of our population is now on Medicaid. 74 million Americans are on Medicaid. And if you earn below 138% of the federal poverty level, you qualify for Medicaid. I think a lot of people who are on Medicaid are actually able to work and, you know, are deciding not to work or not to take a promotion because they want to stay on a government program. It's a lot easier than having to go out and to work.
Yeah,
and
it sounds like a bit of chaos, though, to transition away from that.
Well, any time, you know, we have to remember, Obamacare has been around for 7 years and 4 months. It was unfortunate that that Supreme Court Justice John Roberts, the Chief Justice, you know, voted against the ending of Obamacare because he said that, you know, because the individual mandate,
right,
you know, was not a tax. Then we had 2015 where there was another case about the states that didn't set up their own exchanges would be able to continue to get funding even though it was illegal. So, you know, we've had a number of opportunities that unfortunately they didn't pass. And so it's hard to take something away, but the American people do not like Obamacare, high premiums, high deductibles.
Yeah, do you think we will see some chaos then if we do actually make this move to repeal and replace?
No, I think that people will be glad they can get coverage they want. And, you know, 160 million Americans have employer-based coverage. We're talking about the number of people that are actually on the exchanges alone is only about 10 million in this country. It's very small. We've upset the whole, you know, healthcare system for 10 million people. And we have about 22 million people in the individual market. It's small, and I think, you know, the American people in the states, including Michigan, voted for Mr. Trump because he stood up and said, I am going to repeal and replace disastrous Obamacare.
And he sounds like he's ready to do it, just a matter of the Senate now doing their part. It's Sally Pipes, president and CEO of the Pacific Research Institute and author of the book, The Way Out of Obamacare. Sally Pipes right here on 1320 WILS. Thank you, Sally.
Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
You too.